The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Great songs this morning that are just enormous affirmations of our faith. It's a delight to be with you today to launch a new series. As a team, we want to share with you from the book of Ephesians over the next few months, and it's going to be a fresh look at a fantastic scripture. And we're going to ask a question: who do you think we are? Now, you could take that question two ways, couldn't you? Who do we think we are? Or we could be actually thinking about who does God think we are? In fact, we're going to focus upon both aspects of that question, because this letter really is a blueprint for where we're to go in our journey with the Lord. And some people made it to be models out of the congregation, and you get to look at them every week over the next few weeks, and we'll encourage you to get to know their names and say hi and maybe learn their story in the process. It'll be really good to be able to do that. I've been privileged, if you have a look at the next slide, this week to be in Korea, speaking at a conference and involved in mobilising people for worship. That is a panoramic photo. I'm trying to get used to these iPhones, and it's a panoramic shot, but that map of the world was big enough for 2,500 people to stand on and pray. It's enormous. And the Kintec Stadium that we're in is just an amazing facility. They can have 30,000 or 40,000 people in this stadium for training and equipping. But we had 2,500 people there from Southeast Asia and a few from other parts of the world talking about mission and praying into mission and making commitments of reaching particularly the unreached people groups of the world. And I was there having the opportunity to tee up some training, and we've got 9 opportunities in different nations. And we'll be launching our DCPI training in Korea for the first time in October as a result of sharing in this time together. God is doing amazing things. I've said this before to you, but I want you to know that we live in the most exciting days in the Christian church. And we want to see that more and more in our nation, don't we? We want to see, I think, the results of yesterday underline it for us. The kinds of things that supposed leaders of our nation are saying about each other, and the kind of campaign that's been run, etc., etc. It's a very difficult thing for us to know what's really going on in our nation. But I do want to say that the light exposes darkness. And I do want to say that we can pray for whoever ends up leading our country, that God has his hand on this, and it gives us specific opportunities to be able to reach people for the kingdom of God. And the darker it gets in a nation, the lighter the church can shine, the brighter the church can shine. And the opportunities that we have to be able to influence and encourage people in their relationship with God. But I wanted to bring you some encouragement. I've been having a lot of contact with one of our partners. Luke's highlighted Liz's work, and it's just exciting to be able to journey with Liz. It's with her a month or so ago in Bandung, and sharing there. And please continue to hear what Liz shared with us today, that we need to pray for her and that the prayers of the saints make a powerful difference in that, in every mission context, but particularly in Indonesia at the moment. But at Christmas time last year, we took up some offerings and some gifts, and we gave a good chunk of that money to our new partner in Ropa Salada. Now, I want you to understand the Ropa that you will see on this quick clip comes up to my shoulders, all right? He's a small man. I'm a small man. He's smaller, okay? And Ropa was converted to Christ in the 6th year of training to be a Roman Catholic priest in the Vatican. And as a result, he was expelled. He suffers a speech impediment. Very difficult to understand. He also has physical limitations because of polio and cerebral palsy. And yet he has planted over 15 churches with his wife, Amelia, You will get to see them both in action. He transforms himself into a minister by putting on a nice scarf. You will see this. But they went up to an unreached people group with the funds that we provided. And in January, February, March, we've seen some churches established through previously unreached people. The bonfire you will see is a bonfire as a result of the idols and the totem poles of ancestral worship being burnt and destroyed in the village as the gospel makes an impact for the first time. Sit back and just enjoy this slide and a little bit of video clip as we share together.
Desire is to see the nations worship. Our cry, our prayer is to sing your praise to the ends of the earth, that with one stand.
I'm sure you love the unique spelling of certain words, but that's what you get in tribal situations. Just beautiful, beautiful people. Roper and Amelia will be joining us in 2 weeks for the national summit that we have in the Philippines, and he is one of our master trainers and mobilising other people around the Philippines. We're expecting to train in excess of 500 pastors and church planters in a couple of weeks' time. I love telling people my role, and I love telling them what your team leader says about me these days. You see, we have this description. I'm called the minister at large, not the large minister, but the minister at large of Life Streams. And I tell them that Rod's definition of that is that I can do whatever I like. And I really like that, but I want to say thank you for your support and for your encouragement in ministry, and I thank God for the people that he's raising up around our nation and other nations. We've just had opportunities. We'll be training in Adelaide in August for the first time in South Australia, and got over 50 pastors and leaders coming. There's a real desire to see new churches planted in that city as well as here and in other states. Just more opportunities than we can fill at the moment. Very exciting to see what God is doing. Then we come to our scripture for today. And I have the opportunity of just giving you a little bit of background and a little bit of foundation to a series that we're going to enjoy together. Because the letter that we're going to look at is one of the most interesting letters, I think, in the New Testament. It's a foundational letter, and a letter that speaks about the church, about us as people. And apart from a few terms and treatment of issues like slavery, it's probably one of the most up-to-date and relevant books of the Bible for 21st century living. It's about us. It describes human beings. It describes our predicament. It talks about sin, darkness, separation from God, and what God does when he takes us out of the world and begins to do his work in our lives to transform us as we live for him. And there's two major subjects that emerge. One is the power of God to be able to do that in the church. But the second aspect is our identity, who we are. And that's why we have this theme, who do we think we are? What is your understanding of us as God's people in today's world? And it shows who we really are without Christ. Paul talks about that. And then he shows who we are in Christ and the incredible difference that he makes in our lives. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the Western world in particular, I think the Western world's in a bit of a mess. Our nation is in a bit of a mess. I encounter problems here that I don't encounter in slums and amongst the poor communities of the world. There is a lostness of soul in our nations and in the West. We're too clever for God, but we don't seem to have the answers for the emptiness and the crises that we've created. And Paul speaks about the heart issues. He speaks about the basis of that in this book, and we're going to enjoy week by week just unpacking a chunk of this book and laying a foundation for living today. We all have a need to belong, but to what? And is there anything that merits our commitment? Life's a challenge, no doubt about that. But our moral compass has somehow got put off course. Boundaries are changing. Values in our society in particular are being eroded. Is there a standard? You can almost hear people crying out. Well, the church is supposed to have answers, isn't it? It's supposed to have answers to those sorts of questions and the issues that we confront. But in our day, it's often been lost, both its direction and its voice. The lives of professed Christians in our society have been too often very little different from the lives of those that we interact with. And the gospel has been diluted. And the Western Church, including our church in Australia, is often not the or even a New Testament church. We don't see the kinds of things that we've just witnessed or that we've heard Liz talk about as much as we should or we desire to see it. We need nothing less than a new Reformation. We need an understanding of the church that's founded and based in Scripture. We need an understanding of who we are in Jesus. And so this short little letter is a surprisingly comprehensive statement about God, about His work and His church, about Christ and the gospel, about life with the Spirit, and about the way we are to live in Him and through Him. So as a result, we can come to this foundation of who we are. Do we understand who we are in Christ and our position? And Paul addresses that in an amazing way. Thursday evening this past week, I sat with a young couple. The wife, Jay, for short, J-E-Y, etc. It's a long, long name from an Indian background. Born and raised in London. Her husband, Janakin, Sri Lankan by background, a internet freak and whiz. He's designing an app for our ministry and is going to give us one. He's got an incredible ministry and work. They come from Buddhist free-thinking family background. And they were in tears as we spoke together and as we worked our way through about the transformation that God has made in their lives. And he just said, I cannot but help the church. I cannot but make commitments to surrender my business. He has been working. You look at the apps for Starbucks. He created them. You look at all of these things. He's had a multinational, international ministry. He has 20 people working for him in his company based in Singapore. But he says, it is the grace of God that compels me to do something about this, to make a positive contribution. And then as they shared, he began to weep for his family, still caught in ancestral worship and Buddhist thinking and way of life. And we spent some time praying together with them. So what is the foundation of this series? Well, the grace of God and the peace of God is foundational. And I want you to just look at these key verses for our theme of who do we think we are, and they would come from Ephesians 4. And I just want to read three verses to you. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. To have a new way of thinking about yourself and the world and the church. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I don't know about you, but we need God's help if we're going to understand that, wouldn't you think? To understand who we are. And we're going to need it from week to week as we unpack God's word. You know, I was reading in our journal yesterday, and I know many of you follow along with us as we all journey together through our journal and our Bible reading. And it was fascinating flying and just reflecting on God's word through the night, Friday night and Saturday, on this passage in Luke chapter 24. And I couldn't help but journal on those words, I think it's verse 32 of 24, where the disciples said, our eyes were opened when Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it. And we looked at each other and they shared with the disciples and they said, didn't our hearts burn as Jesus opened the scriptures to us? Has your heart ever burned when the scripture was opened to you? I'd love it to burn this morning. I'd love your heart to burn this morning as we look in God's Word very briefly. I've got about 8 minutes. Just unpack two verses for you that lays the foundation. Will you join with me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, I simply ask this morning that as we continue to share your word and as we embark upon a journey together as a church family in the book of Ephesians, that from week to week, beginning with today, your word would burn. Your word would convict. Your word would change the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ephesus. I don't know what your idea of Ephesus was when Paul wrote to it, but it was a trading city. It was a pagan city. They worshipped pagan gods. It was really the capital of Asia Minor, there in Turkey. It was a religious centre. It had the great temple to the god Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and the main acts of worship were sexual in nature, both men and women. It had a 50,000-seat open-air theatre, the remains of which are still there today. I'm looking forward, looks like I might be going there in a few months' time to meet with a group of missional leaders. And we'll be going to Ephesus and to this theatre. It was a centre of occult practices. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul preached in Ephesus for 2 years. And he stayed there, and ultimately it resulted in a bonfire of occult goods and idols that today would be worth between $5 to $6 million Australian. And they were up in arms as a result of that, because all sorts of industries were being put out of action because of the impact of the gospel. I said to Liz earlier this morning when we were praying, isn't it wonderful when you get opposition to the gospel? You know you're doing something right. You know the enemy's not happy. He's not happy because of the ground that's being gained into his territory. So let's look at the scripture. Verses 1 and 2. This is all we're looking at this morning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's the introduction. Paul describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Do you notice that? An apostle. What's an apostle? Well, it's interesting because in the New Testament, the term apostle carried several connotations in the early church, all of which applied to Paul. And they were that somebody had seen the risen Christ. We discover that in 1 Corinthians 9. Someone sent out by the church or called out by the church for a missionary task to take the gospel somewhere. And more broadly, someone who functioned as an agent or a representative. Somebody who was going to the margins to do new things. Paul was certainly that. And the will of God is an important theme throughout the whole letter of Ephesians. But notice the recipients of the letter. Do you notice what it says? He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to who? To God's holy people in Ephesus. Do you know what some of the translations say? To the saints at Ephesus. Did you know you're a saint? Did you meet the person next to you earlier this morning? Well, some of you have sort of met for a while and made plans together, haven't you? All right, two newly engaged couples on the front row this morning, just the place that young married couples ought to be, or couples getting married. All right, fantastic place to sit. Will you turn to the person next to you, and by name, will you say, Saint whoever, Saint John. Call them Saint. Come on. It sounds a little bit different, doesn't it? Say it again. Say it to one another. All right. Look, all I want you to know, Jesus is saying, through Paul at this point is this. The Ephesians, and by the way, you know, some parts of the Christian church call people saints because they've reached certain incredible heights, right? And they're supposed to be such special people. Well, the Ephesians, as we've just seen, and the Corinthians, and mind you, when Paul greeted the Corinthians, he called them saints, and they were anything but saints when you read through the kinds of stuff that was happening in the church. All right? The reality is that term simply means that you've come to know Jesus and you've been set apart to do Jesus' business. That's what the word holy means. It means set apart to do the will or the work of Jesus. Do you understand that? If you belong to Jesus, if you've come to know Jesus, you've been set apart. You are holy. You will become more holy as you journey with Jesus, but you've been set apart and you've been made a saint. And I kind of like it. When I was with the Wildcats, it was quite funny because Adrian Hurley, who was the Australian coach and the coach of the Wildcats, he said, oh yes, we're having a pretty good record since we've made St. John of God our chaplain. That was his nickname for me, St. John of God. And I quite enjoyed that because it gave me opportunity to talk about the things of God sometimes and to be able to encourage the guys to think about the spiritual dimension. But the reality is that's true. You are a saint. You've been set apart by the will of God. Some of us may be called into apostolic ministry. We may be sent to different places to do the work of God. But this is a common greeting that Paul would use. And he would commonly refer to himself this way. And then he goes on and he says something else, doesn't he, in this passage. He says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to God's holy people, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. You faithful? Would that be a term that God would put over your life, my life, through the week? From day to day, moment to moment, 24/7, we're being found faithful to the gospel, faithful to the fact that we've been set apart by what Jesus has done for us, and we've sung great songs about that today. We've sung the Apostles' Creed. We've sung scripture that has spoken about the finished work of Jesus in our lives. He calls them faithful. And it's a wonderful expression. But then what we discover too is Paul talks in this letter about who we are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that he uses that expression in his letters 164 times? And when it comes to the book of Ephesians, he uses that expression 36 times in this letter alone, that we are in Jesus. That's our identity. See, Jan and Jay came from a background where they had to work to be accepted. And when I talked to them about the fact that they couldn't be any more acceptable to God than they are right now, their eyes welled up in tears and they expressed gratitude to God. Because we are in Jesus. We're in Jesus. Now notice something else that Paul says here. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that's an expression that Paul uses constantly in his greetings? And he's the only one that does it in the writing of the New Testament. The word grace is amazing. It's the receiving of unmerited favour. It's getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Peace, the peace of God, the battle's over. Jesus has done it for us. But then there's an element to the peace of God, isn't there? And that's peace with God. So we experience the peace of God within our hearts and we're at peace with God because he's done the work. He's completed it for us. My encouragement this morning is to think of a simple greeting like this. Understand that Paul then finishes this letter with similar truth, and we'll see that in a few weeks' time. But grace and peace are at the heart of his apostolic message. So let me ask some questions. And if you're involved in small groups, you might want to explore these this week as we close. What are the implications for you living for Christ? What are the implications for you in living as a holy one, as a saint? What does it mean at work? What does it mean at home? What does it mean at play? What's the implication of being set apart for God? Can your life be described as faithful? Have you experienced and received God's grace? Have you entered into that? Are you at peace with God? Have you experienced the peace of God? Those things are so important as we journey with Him. Our time's gone this morning, but we've introduced a series. I'm looking forward to next week unpacking the next 12 verses and just seeing the foundation that Paul makes for us in Jesus and how we're to live for Him, and it'll help us understand who we are. As we close this morning, I want to suggest a couple of things to you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, the Jesus that we've been singing about and hearing about, my encouragement is to take a step towards Him and to embrace what He has done for you. Don't leave this place without talking to somebody. If you've got prayer requests, you can text them to us, or you can write them down on care cards and put them in the boxes. But we'd be delighted to have praying people pray for you. But don't leave this morning if you have a need without somebody praying for you. And we have people who will pray for you as we wrap things up this morning. The other thing is, if you're a visitor today, we're glad you're with us, because a lot of our people have gone north. In America, they talk about snowbirds. They go south. They go from the north south to the warmer climate. Here, we go north. My body still thinks it's in 30-plus degrees in Korea. That's what I've experienced this week. But you go north and southern hemisphere, you switch between the seasons. Absolute opposite. But my encouragement is, if you're new this morning, we're delighted you're with us, because we've got a lot of people that are away on holidays, etc. There's an area in our cafe where you could be, you can share, and you can fellowship with some of our folk. We'd be delighted to shout your coffee or a tea and encourage you. Can we stand together as we close? Don't leave this place without ministry if you have a need, and if you haven't made your peace with God and are experiencing the peace of God this morning. Father, I thank you for every opportunity we have in this country of freely meeting together. We've heard of Liz today and such a large, large people group, Lord, that are lost and in darkness, but they're beginning to embrace you. And I thank you for Liz and others that go to share the love of Jesus. I thank you for people in that culture that are responding to you, like Sam, and for his leadership, and for Elisa, who works with them and with her husband. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for Roper and our partnership with him. Thank you for churches that are being established amongst people who have never heard. And thank you that in this country, we can, as your saints, live for you. Help us to shine brighter day by day so that we reflect your love and your goodness to those around about us. Thank you for our time together today. And Lord, may we shine for you this week, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. And if we can minister to you, we'd love to pray for you and encourage you in your relationship.